Hope you've enjoyed the series. Today's lesson, of course, we'll finish it. This will be the 11th lesson that we've done in the book of James. And those are just the ones that we touched. There were more, but we just did the ones that I felt to do. We call our study How Life Works. How many have seen something about how life really does work? Through the book of James. This is how it works. If you want a working life, a life that works, a good life, an abundant life, these are very, very necessary things. In today's lesson, we're calling how evangelism works. How evangelism works. How does evangelism, what's accomplished when we evangelize people? So I hope you've enjoyed the series, and today, of course, we'll finish it up. Let's pray. Father, help us. You came, Jesus, to give us life and that more abundantly. You're showing us how that works. I ask you today to help us see how evangelism works and what's accomplished when we are able to bring in a sinner, to bring back someone to you. I ask you to help us. Let our ears hear what the Spirit says. Let our hearts receive the Word and let it bring forth fruit. And I ask it in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. I want you to do something for me. Today as we begin, I want you to imagine. I'm just going to imagine this. Say that to me. I'm just going to imagine this. Imagine that you backslid. Imagine that you got away from Jesus. Now don't think too hard about this. Don't speak this or think this into existence. But you got away from Jesus. You got out of church, and you left what you do now. Imagine what your life would be like. What do you think would happen? What do you think would happen to your life? Would your life be abundant, or would it begin to deteriorate? Would bad things or negative things begin to happen in your life? Would you find yourself, you know, doing things that you really know you shouldn't be doing? How would life be? And then, about your soul. How do you imagine your soul if you got away from Jesus, you got away from church, you got away from God? What would happen to your soul? Would you still go to heaven in the presence of the Lord when you die? I know sometimes that's an issue. And this is what James really talks about here in these last two verses. And I want us to see. I want to see how it reads to you. So let's read together James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. And you tell me how it reads to you. My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. Now, how does that read to you? What happens to your soul when you wander away from truth, when you wander away from God? James brings his writing to a climactic close in one sentence. Those two verses are only just one sentence. But it summarizes what the entire book of James is really about. And it's bringing people to truth. Amen. Everything that James has written, all those lessons that we've done about faith, about trials, about temptation, about quarreling, about anger, about the tongue, all those things are just telling us what truth is. And he says, if somebody wanders from truth. So it's all about bringing people to truth. But the first thing I got your attention, I want to talk about, is the believers, your authority, my authority, to forgive another person's sin. Now, I know immediately. See, I got your attention really now. I'm going to say it again. I want to talk about your authority, my authority, the believer's authority, to forgive another person's sin. James says in those verses, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his ways that person, that I'm a whoever. Are you a whoever?
Yeah.
Whoever turns that person from the error of his ways, raises that person from death, and covers a multitude of sin. That person does that. We talked last week about how prayer worked, and we were talking about the elders. That if we are any sick among you, let them call the elders of the church, let them anoint them with oil, and the prayer of those elders will heal that person, and if, James says, they have committed any sins, they will be forgiven. There is a power that you and I have to forgive sin. Now I know that bothers us, and I want you to look at that verse again so we'll all be on the same page. But look at James chapter 19, chapter 5, verses 19 and 20 one more time. My brothers, if any one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. We have authority to forgive people their sins. It sounds like I'm blaspheming, doesn't it? Do you remember the story where they brought a sick man to Jesus on a pallet? And he was paralytic. He was palsy. And they brought him to Jesus. And Jesus looks at this guy and he says, Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. And the scribes were there and they said, man, who does he think he is? And they thought to themselves, he said, what is he doing? This is horrible. Who does he think he is? So I tell you what, let's just read it. I've got it on the screen for you. I had every intention to read it for you anyway. But let's look at this. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 2, let's read this. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And then in verse 5, Jesus says, Which is the easiest to say? You know, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk. We have no problem with people praying for us to be healed. In just a little while, many of you will be coming down to the altar to be prayed for by me to heal you, or by others in our body to lay hands on you, anoint you with oil, and heal you. But if I was to say to you, I forgive you of your sins, and Jesus says here, now, which is the easiest and what difference, which is the more difficult to do, to pray for your healing or forgive you of your sins? What he did then, as you know, is he told the guy, take up your bed and walk. And he healed him of his sins. And he says, I'm doing this to show you that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. So somebody would say, you know, well, that's Jesus. That's Jesus. That's how Jesus did things. That's the Jesus. He's the Son of God. Well, you're right, but let's look a little further, okay? Let's look in John chapter 20 and verse 21 through 23. John chapter 20. Now, what's happened here is Jesus has resurrected. He's come back into the room with the disciples. And here Jesus says, and again Jesus said, Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Now, let's stop right there just a second. Just leave it up. Peace be with you. As Father God sent me, I am in turn sending you. Exactly as I was sent out to do stuff, I'm now going to send you out to do stuff. And then the Bible says, and with that he breathed on them, and what happened? And they received the Holy Ghost. Now look what he says next. Next thing. And they received the Holy Ghost. And then he says this, if you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Listen, folks. You and I, if we have the Holy Spirit, have power to forgive sins. We talked last week just a little bit about how sin was sometimes, not always, but somehow associated with sickness. As we talked about that man with the palsy, that sick person. Obviously, his sin was associated with his sickness. And sometime, this is necessary to receive a healing. So when we come for prayer, and if we were to step into this dimension and somebody lays hands on you and says, I just sense that there's a sin. And I have, how many, I won't ask you. There's been times when I would pray for someone and I would just sense that there was something hindering it. There was some sin. There was something out of line here that was hindering this healing. But if I were to at that time say to that person who I had never, you know, had never given this kind of teaching to, you know, I would say, I forgive you of your sins. Who are you? See, there's still a little Pharisee in all of us, isn't there? Who are you to forgive me of my sins? Because we don't understand the power of the Holy Spirit. That is the same Spirit that Jesus had. What it brought to Him and put into His life, it brings into you and puts into your life. And you and I now have the authority of Christ. We are Christ in the earth. We are Christians. We are His bride. We are one with Him. We have the power to forgive sins. Now, that's how evangelism works. When we or I go and get someone in that has wandered away from God, they've wandered, they left the truth. When we go and get them, what we have done is turn that person not only from the error of their ways, we have raised that person back to life, and we have covered a multitude of sins. That's how evangelism works. Evangelism is raising dead people to life again. Evangelism is covering a multitude of sins. Now stay with me. You still with me? You still love me? Now, let me try to explain this just a little bit more. The Bible says that you and I have been made a kingdom of priests. You with me? Jesus made us a kingdom of priests to serve God. I want to show it to you in the Bible, Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. Show it to you. Reading the last part of verse 5 says, to Him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by His blood. You need to say back to me, by His blood. By His blood. And has made us to be a kingdom of priests to serve His God and Father. To Him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. He has made us to be a kingdom of priests. Now, what does that mean? What in the world is that talking about? Well, the people in this day didn't have a problem understanding it. It's a little foreign to us. It's a little distant for us to understand. We have to understand is in the Old Covenant, there was a Levitical priesthood. There was this tribe. It was called Levi. And out of the tribe of Levi came the people that ministered at the temple. From Aaron's seed, from Aaron's generations, came a people that would actually minister the burnt sacrifices, the burnt offerings, the blood sacrifices right there. And what they would do is they would take the blood of that animal to work the forgiveness of sins. They would forgive people their sins when they did a blood sacrifice. On the Day of Atonement, the high priest would take the blood into the holy place and most holy place, holiest of all, and he would sprinkle 7 times the blood on the mercy seat. And you know what that did? That forgave the whole nation of their sins. Now, what you got to realize is it wasn't their blood forgiving the sins. It wasn't the priest's blood working and covering and forgiving the sins. It was the sacrifice's blood. It's not my blood that forgives you of your sins or your blood that forgives me of my sins. It's by the blood of Jesus. All what we get to do is be priests. We get to forgive people their sins. We get to raise them from dead. We get to turn them from the error of their ways. And we get to cover a multitude of sins. That's good. In the Old Covenant, they reconciled man to God. In the New Covenant, that's what we do. We are ambassadors of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We are ambassadors of Christ. reconciling man to God and God to man. And somehow in there works the forgiveness of sins. And you and I have that power. And you can tell when somebody's repentant. You can tell when you're talking to somebody who has sorrow in their heart about the sin, the thing they've done. You can tell. And you can say, brother, sister, I forgive you of that sin. And if you understand what the Bible says and teaches about it, that doesn't bother you. You say, thank you. Thank you. You can do that. I can do that. And that's important when we work evangelism. That's how evangelism works. Isn't that great? Now, a couple of quick thoughts here. James' intention was to bring people to truth. The whole book is about bringing people and instructing people in truth. Now, in this passage, in this one sentence, these two verses, what he says here, he tells us a lot about truth. First of all, he lets us know that we can know truth. Secondly, he tells us that we can wander away from truth. And we have to know truth before we could wander from it, right? So we can know truth, we can wander from truth, and then, praise God, if I wandered away from truth, I can come back to truth. Amen. Now, come on. Now, somebody help me here. I can know it, wander from it, but come back to it. Now, that's how evangelism works. Now, I want to look at these three quickly. The first one is how it works that we can know truth. You can know truth. I can know truth. John tells us about an experience that Jesus had with Pontius Pilate. He had been arrested. He was taken before Pilate. He was being interrogated by Pilate. And Pilate asked him, are you a king? And Jesus says, yeah, I'm a king. I'll read it to you. Because eventually Pilate comes to the place, they get into this discussion about truth, and they come to this place where Pilate says, what is truth? So let's look at this in John chapter 18, verse 37 and 38. You are a king then, said Pilate. Jesus answered, you are right to say I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born. Now I want you to see this. For this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Now, I'll leave that up there just a second. Let's look at this. Why was he born, and why did he come to earth? No. Why was Jesus born? Why did he come to the earth? Testify of the truth. For this reason was I born. For this reason came I to the earth to testify of the truth. And if anyone wants to know truth, they've got to listen to me. Now I was talking to someone this week and they were getting after me a little bit. Delbert, you don't say it. You know, sometimes you get right there to the edge of it. And then you like got something, you know something, and you don't say it. Well, I'm about to say it. Pilate asked, well, what is truth? What is truth? Do we know what is truth? The reason Jesus was born, the reason that Jesus came to the earth was to testify, to be an example of truth, to show us how truth worked, to testify, to talk about, to show us, to exemplify to us how truth works. But what is truth? Now, Jesus told us the answer to that in John 14:6. Look at this one. John 14:6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Now, It's interesting to me that Jesus connected truth with coming to the Father. Let me say it a little more potent. Jesus connected truth with coming into the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, he can't see the kingdom. Except he's born of water and spirit, he can't enter the kingdom. You can't come into the kingdom except by truth. He connected truth with coming to the Father. He connected truth with the way. I am the way. The truth. He connected truth with the life. If you want the abundant life, it requires truth. And he says, I am. First of all, truth is a person and not an idea. Now, Jesus said he was the truth. Now, you know, we read scriptures like that, and we think we have a handle on them. Well, I know what that one means. But what was Jesus saying? He says, I am the truth. For this reason I was born. For this reason I came to the earth. But what's he really saying? If, let me try to spell it out, spit it right out there. Let me try to just say it. If Jesus was truth, then what was the law of Moses? Let me really get us. If Jesus said he was truth, then what was the Ten Commandments? Boy, you are listening now. Have you ever noticed that Jesus never preached anyone's doctrine? Not even Moses' doctrine. If Moses' doctrine was truth, and that was the way, and that was the truth, and that was the life, then why was it necessary for Jesus to come and testify of the truth? And we need to understand truth if we're going to bring those that have wandered away to truth. Know what truth is. Jesus never preached anyone's doctrine. In fact, he would say, you heard it said of them of old, thou shalt not. And usually that was a commandment. That was one of the Ten Commandments when he would say that. I'm going to show you one in just a second. But I say to you, let's look at one. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21, 22. And you can jot some of those. There's a whole bunch more of them. I'm just using one just to get the point crossed. Matthew 5, 21. You have heard that it was said of them of old, thou shalt not kill. How many knows that is one of the Ten Commandments? You've heard it said of them of old, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Which is truth. And there's a bunch of those. Let me give you another one. You've heard it said of them of old, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say to you, if you're running a video in your mind, you got a porno film going on in your head? So which is truth? What is truth? Jesus says, for this reason was I born, for this reason came to the earth, so that I can testify truth. So truth to Jesus was about coming to the Father, how we get into the kingdom, how we have an abundant life. Truth is the way to the kingdom of God. Truth is the way to an abundant life. Truth is Jesus. Truth is not an idea or a doctrine. Truth is a person. Yeah. And if you want truth, you've got to know Jesus. Not only do you have to know him, you've got to hear him. Truth is a person. Truth is not scriptures. And you got to hear me right on that one. Truth are the sayings of Jesus. Truth is not situational. Truth is not one thing for me and another thing for you. Truth is not one thing for the Gentiles and another thing for the Jews. Somebody help me here. I don't care how many temples they build in Jerusalem. That's not truth any longer. I don't care how many lambs they sacrifice on a stone altar. That's not truth. Truth is not one thing for America and another thing for Haiti. Truth is absolute, not situational. Truth is truth. If I'm operating in truth and you're operating in something else, one of us, or if you're operating in truth and I'm operating in something else, one of us is in error. And so what we've got to do is turn people that have wandered away from the error of their way and bring them back to truth. Truth is absolute. And truth will work anywhere for anyone.
Right.
Jew, Gentile, bond, slave, male, female.
Right.
How much truth is possible to have? How much truth can I obtain? Now, this is so good to me. Does God like put a limit on truth? You know, you've truthed out. You can't have any more truth. Is there a limit, or can I conform to His image? Can I be conformed to the very image of Jesus Christ? And in this context, become truth? I'm just throwing a bunch of questions out here. How much truth can I obtain? As much as I'm willing to get. Now, speaking to someone recently, and they were telling me how much an individual dislikes me. And it was with a serious dislike. And I asked why. I said, why does this individual dislike me so much? So badly? and they told me, said, well, and named off about four or five people, and named said, these four or five people like put you right up there next to God. You know, I guess there's God and me and Jesus. And the people that they named, the people that they named have known me for over a decade. I mean, they've known me a long time. And, you know, I said, wow. Now, let me say this to start with, so I won't forget to say it. It is not good to be on a pedestal. Because when you fall, it hurts, and it's a long fall when you're way up that high. And it's not if you fall, it's when you fall, because there is no way I can fulfill that expectation. So I will disappoint people. But I was thinking about that. I was pondering that. You know, here's how I want to project it. You know, we don't have I want to be a truth hero. You know, we don't mind if our little guys, little Jack and Max, their heroes right now are Spider-Man and Batman. They're superheroes. And we giggle at that. But see, that's really, you know, what's wrong with saving the world? You know, what's wrong with getting people out of dangerous situations? What's wrong with helping people? And that's what we see in that. And I think that's a good thing to try to instill into your kids. You know, save the world if you can. Well, hallelujah. And we don't think of anything with a little older kid wanting to be like Michael Jordan. I want to be like Mike. You know, I mean, that encourages them and causes them to come into an excellence of what they apply themselves to. If they apply and work hard enough, they can do it or become a Chipper Jones. We think that's good. We think that's wonderful. Yeah, we giggle a little bit, but we want them to excel. And so we don't have any problems with that. Well, what's wrong with being a truth hero? What's wrong with what Spider-Man and Batman do for Jack is provoke them to save the world. And what Michael Jordan provokes these teenagers to do is to do well at basketball or chipper at baseball, you know. But what's wrong with provoking people to truth? And if you can say one thing about Delbert, that's what he has done for 16, 17, 20 years, is just provoke people to truth. Yeah. Is that what it says, I say? If that's what it says, then that's it. I want to be a truth hero. I want to challenge people to truth. How are we? Are we in agreement now that truth is not a good idea or a doctrine? Our truth is a person. Truth is Jesus. Truth are the sayings of Jesus. Are you with me on that? Are we in agreement? Because it's very important before I go to point two, that we are in agreement that truth is Jesus. Okay. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, number two is we can wander away from truth. We can know truth. We can have absolute truth. We can have all the truth we want. Two is we can wander from truth. Now, didn't say you can wander from church. Didn't say you could wander away from religion. Didn't say you could wander away from a doctrine, but it says you can wander from truth. And if truth is a person, then in reality, what are you wandering away from? How many have actually witnessed that happening? You have actually seen someone who had truth wander away from truth. You ever seen that happen? I've seen it way too many times. Now, I want you to do something for me. I want you to compare the number of people that you talk to who have never received Jesus, never, their whole life, they've never prayed the prayer or received Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior. Compare the number of people that you talk to that have never received Jesus as Lord and Savior with the numbers of people that have wandered away from Jesus. Which one of those are the greater? The wanderers. And that's what I want us to see today. It's the ministry of LifeGate Church to reach people, reach the wanderers, and bring them back to truth. Bring them back and make them devoted followers of Jesus Christ. We can wander away from truth. Why? Why do we wander from truth? You ever thought about it? The reason is we no longer want truth. Or we wouldn't wander from it, correct? I mean, that's kind of simple when you think about it. For example, an individual caught up in adultery. The Bible says, don't do it. Jesus says, don't think it. But I want to think it. Raise that one. Okay. The individual wants to think it and wants to do it. And so they wander from that truth. I want to be mad. I want to be angry. I want to talk about people. Well, you're not going to get by that here. You're not going to get by with that here. And you'll wander from truth. I want to be mean. You know, I want to do any of these things that Jesus has talked about to us, or James has talked about to us in the book. Well, no, that's not truth. And so we wander from it. But we can have it, can we not? Can we have truth?
Yes.
We can have absolute truth. Can we wander from the truth? But what's the good news? We can come back to truth. Number three, we can be brought back to truth. I love it. I love it. All right. What are we talking about here? How many of us have ever wandered away from truth? And you're walking with the Lord, you found yourself at some point in time that you wandered away from truth. Would you vote with me? Good. Yes, that's a lot of us. Now, what happened, because you're here today, but what happened is there was someone, there was a whosoever, or there was a person who helped bring you back to truth, who turned you from the error of your ways, who raised you back to life, and covered your sins. Now, we can do that. And we all know people like that. I love it. I think that's just the greatest thing. I think that it's wonderful. That's why we were born. Now, let me tell you something. I want you to know that I believe that is the goal of LifeGate Church. If I had to lay it out there for you, I would tell you that what we do here, because so many of you raised your hands a while ago, this is a church of the wanderers. Most of us at one point in time wandered away, but we came back. And the people that come in these doors usually are the people that have wandered away. And one of us went and brought them back.
Hallelujah.
Tomorrow, hear me, tomorrow there's going to be a parking lot full of people who have wandered away from the truth. They're going to be on this premise. We're going to pray tonight that God will convict every heart, every one of those people, to come back to truth. Bring people who have wandered from Him. And let's get them back to truth. Do you believe that? Because I want you to understand, that's why you were born. That's why you came to this earth. That's why you have received the Holy Spirit of God. That's why you are who you are and where you are and doing what you do, is because you are here to bring people back that have wandered away from truth. That's what we are all about. And that's what evangelism is about. How many believe that? How many believe that? Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Get with me on this. Okay. Now, I want to close with this thought. Jesus talks about He was a friend of sinners. He talks about the sheep going, wandering away and going and getting it. We're going to read those verses in just a second. But I want to close with this thought. How bad a sinner will we allow here? Tomorrow, now you got to get with me. Tomorrow, on our property, in that parking lot, are going to be some bad sinners. There's probably somebody out there that's homosexual. Probably somebody out there fornicating. How bad of a sinner are we going to allow to come in here and sit beside you and your wife or your husband or your children? Where do we draw the line? Where is the list, you know, that says, okay, we're going to let slanderers and liars and people that want to fight and quarrel come in, but buddy, now if we got adulterers and fornicators, no. We're not going to let them come in. What do we think when we think sinner? What do we think when Jesus delivered people from an unclean spirit? How bad of a sinner are we going to reach for? I need to know. I need to know what we can tolerate. I need to know what we can bring back to truth. Now, I'm well aware of sin in the church. I know how you handle sin in the church. I know that 1 Corinthians talks about a man that had to be turned over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. I'm well aware of how sin is handled in the church. I'm talking about people that have wandered away from God. What do we do? Yeah. Let's read Matthew 11:19, and then some verses from Luke. We've already read them today once. But I just want to, I'm closing up, and I just want to say these, I want us to hear these things, and then we're gonna sing a song in just a minute. Think about this, and then we'll have some closing comments. But Matthew 11:19 says, "The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, here's a glutton and a drunkard." Talking about Jesus. "A friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved right by her actions. What actions are we going to have for sinners? Luke 15:1 says, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathered around to hear him." Isn't that amazing? They came to hear truth. Sinners. Let me tell you, sinners want truth. They just don't want religion. The Pharisees were there. They weren't gathering around the Pharisees. They were gathering around the truth. The sinners and the tax collectors came, gathering around him. Verse 2, "But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.'" Then Jesus told them this parable. "Suppose one of you had 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep.' I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over all the rest of us who don't need to repent." I want us to think about that. If we're a real church, if we are I want you to hear me. If we are a real church, if we're just not going through motions, if we're not just playing a Sunday game, if we are real about what we're supposed to be here doing, for what we were born to do, about for what we really came into this earth to do, about what we really received the Holy Spirit to do, if we're really real about this, if we're a real church, we're going to bring back sinners. We're going to bring back people that have wandered away. That's how evangelism works. Now, I want us to think about this a second. We're going to sing a song. I want you to think about His love. I want you to think that one day you were a sinner. I want you to think that there was a time when maybe you wandered away. I want you to think about His love for you. And then what I want you to do is think about all those people that are going to be here tomorrow. And all those people that we're going to be talking to the rest of our lives. And all those people that have wandered away. And I want you to think about He loves them too. And how He wants you and I to go and get them. And let's think about His love for a minute. And then after the song, I'm going to come back and have some closing comments.